I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Okay, it's a big week for relationship news on Bravo.
Should we start with the good?
Let's start with the good.
Okay.
Amrit and Nicholas from Family Karma are engaged.
Mazel.
Yay. It's been a long time coming. They've been together for, what, 8 or 9 years?
Right.
The big hurdle they had to overcome recently was Amrit wanted to come out to his nani. We talked about it last week. Huge emotional moment for everyone, including viewers. And then that opened up the opportunity for the two of them to take the next step. So congratulations.
Congrats.
Now, should we talk about the bad news?
Oh, Naomi from Southern Charm and Matul have broken up.
Now, you probably remember I was rooting for him.
Well, you liked his body. I don't know if you were rooting for his like personal journey.
Well, he was also, you know, in med school, so I was supporting that and very excited for him and Naomi because he's cute, she's cute. They make a good couple or made a good couple, I should say.
So they had just moved to New York together because he got a fellowship and they've broken up and now she's back in Charleston.
I mean, does that have implications for potential casting for a potential season of Southern Charm?
Is it bad that I'm so rooting for her and Craig? You know what? I shouldn't say that because she wasn't supportive of Craig's dreams, but they just were such a beautiful couple.
I would just love to know who from the cast has reached out to her at this point. Has Craig said something?
Right.
I don't know.
Ugh.
She did delete all of the pictures of the two of them on Instagram.
No.
Yes. And she posted a story panel expressing how she's feeling in this moment, and there were some implications about why the two of them split. So I'm going to read a line from it just so we're all on the same page. Betrayal is never easy for anyone, and I'm just so sorry to anyone else that has stumbled across those terrible messages. I'm absolutely positive I will regret posting this tomorrow, but so many of you have reached out saying you're feeling a similar pain. I'm so, so sorry. Very emotional post.
Oh. So, I mean, those terrible messages leads to believe there was something shady happening either in the DMs or the texts or whatnot.
Which is so interesting because that's what we're talking about on Married to Medicine right now. It's coming up on a few of our shows. Where do you draw the line in DMs that you're sent or messages from people that you are not actively engaged with? But I mean, who knows? We don't know.
Yeah, you know, I've always thought the deleting of photos of, you know, an ex was like kind of a petty move, like if you'd spent a significant amount of time together. But that said, I think that if someone cheated, it's all, the gloves are off. Like,
yeah.
Petty city, here I come.
I know, it is so interesting. I mean, you still have pictures of Aaron on your Instagram, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, which I guess goes to show that it was not that type of breakup.
Right.
So, I mean, for the most part, I don't understand why people have to set fire to like relationships when they break up.
Yeah.
I think we should make it normal to just be like, we're just moving into a different phase of our relationship that no longer includes
sex and marriage.
Yeah.
Mostly sex is really what it is.
But yeah, that said, I just had a conversation with Andrew actually where I mean, I think it's pretty much known, like, oh, if you cheat on me, like, that's not okay. But I think I was just like, if I ever feel betrayed, that will be the end of it for me. Mm. Like, I will not be able to come back from that.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. I think that's a very evolved and mature way to put it.
Yeah.
You know? Because people survive cheating.
Yeah.
Relationships can move on from that.
Oh.
But once it crosses over into a real betrayal.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah. I'm not built for it.
Well, we have some more good news as well.
Okay.
Top Chef scored an Emmy nomination for the best competition program.
I mean, are we surprised?
No. Have you seen Top Chef Amateurs yet?
Of course.
I feel like I could compete on it. I wouldn't do well.
Right.
Also, I want to give a shout out to Danny because today, the day we're recording, is his birthday. So happy birthday, Danny.
Say your boyfriend, Danny.
My man. He is 30-something years old today. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Also, for those Bravo super fans out there, you can now text Bravo. Message the word podcast to 917-809-2240. So again, it's 917-809-2240.
Fun. Okay, what are we talking today?
Real Housewives of Potomac.
Oh, it's back.
Season premiere. And then we have Real Housewives of New York City.
Ooh, rough.
And then Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh my God. One of the best episodes of the whole entire series ever.
It's so good. Plus, we have an interview with Real Housewife of Potomac's Mia Thornton.
New gal.
It was good.
Okay, Potomac. We're back. Ladies are here. Ashley Darby's very pregnant.
Oh my God, she's so pregnant.
She is so pregnant. She says that she and Michael have not had sex in 4 months.
Oh, okay. First of all, is this normal when women are pregnant? Like, I thought you were supposed to be more into sex when you're pregnant. Don't people always talk about how women, pregnant women can't get enough of it?
I have heard that, yeah.
So how depressing. That depresses me, but also it makes me nervous for their relationship because of what happened last season. And I just feel like that would be my biggest fear of having kids, is that you just are no longer a sexual person at all.
I know. Well, my question is, are we talking full sex, as we've referenced before, P and V? Because there are other things you can be doing with each other at this time. So I'm hoping that there is some gratification happening between the two of them.
But maybe you get to a point where you're like kind of resentful because you're like, ugh, your baby's inside of me. It's making me all hormonal and I'm not putting anything in my mouth.
Right. Yeah, maybe. But there are other things that can be done as well to her, you know?
Oh, just right. Saying. Oh, right. You're saying, okay, that's good. I thought you were like, well, she can still put
she
in some
effort.
She should
be servicing her man. No way.
I was like, Jesus.
No way. At this point, Michael Darby needs to be doing everything he can to make sure Ashley is happy. Let's just say that much.
Okay.
You know, but it is sad that we also have to, as viewers and fans of the show and people who care about Ashley, we have to think of it from the place of, oh, if they're not having sex, what if Michael strays again?
Yeah, exactly.
And like, that's not cool.
It's not. Giselle's relationship status is interesting.
Is it?
No, I mean, like, not surprising.
Right.
But I want to know how much last season's reunion has affected where things are.
I know. I wonder how much trust they really had rebuilt up until that point, because I think as they rekindled their romance and got back into this relationship, there's still going to be cracks in that.
Yeah.
No matter how hard they work going forward. And Giselle's trying to blame it on COVID. She's saying, well, the distance and all that has made it challenging, but I feel like she still just doesn't trust him.
It reminds me of the Sex and the City episode where Samantha has gotten back with Richard after he cheated on her. And he's being perfect in this second iteration, the second go around of the relationship. But she can't stop worrying that he's cheating on her to the point that she runs back up to the hotel room in Atlantic City because she thinks she's going to catch him cheating. And then she's just like, I can't live like this. Like, I can't constantly be worried that you're going to do it again. Like, I love me too much. And I just wonder if Giselle gets, because that's exhausting to worry someone's cheating all the time.
Right. Well, and if that is the case, that sucks for Giselle.
Yeah.
Because if she really is trying to rebuild this relationship and she can't get past that, it's not going to go anywhere. But on the flip side, as Karen Huger continues to double down on, that relationship was a sham. And according to that binder at the reunion last season, the relationship was for the show.
I can't believe that, because I don't think Giselle would drag her children into that.
Right.
You know, like, I totally believe she thought that it's going to work this time. And she even talked about, a friend said to me, who will ever love your children more than Jamal will? We can't ever know how relationships would have been affected if the pandemic hadn't happened, but it did happen. And like, they are long distance. And how long can you sustain that?
I don't think that long.
No.
I mean, say what you will about Karen, but she's consistent. She's saying, I don't believe it. These are lies. It's not true, but I don't know.
What do we think about the fact that Giselle is like, you know what? Karen has crossed a line. She went after my family, and now I'm going to tell all her secrets. Do you think she actually has good secrets, or do you think it's just, I'm going to just say stuff?
I don't know, because I love Giselle. I really do. I think her frenemy feud with Karen is one of the best in all Housewives franchises. But she is one to talk about other people's relationships. You know, she's always bringing up other people's rumors, whatever might be going on. We saw it last season with Monique and Chris. We're going to see it this season, apparently, with Dr. Wendy and Eddie.
Yep.
So for her to get so mad at Karen for doing what Giselle has done to others, I mean, that's hypocritical.
Right.
So I don't know if she actually has secrets. I think she might just be saying it. I know from working on the after show last season and talking to her, Robin, other cast members, I think people tend to say that Karen has an issue with her drinking, but I don't think there are other secrets that are going to come out about her.
Also, does she?
I don't know. We don't see her drink that much on the show. There was all that weird stuff.
But shouldn't that say everything? Like,
you would think.
If you can hide, I don't know.
I mean, she was drinking the milk in Portugal, remember? Because she got a little too loosey-goosey at Monique's house.
But who has not had a night like that, you know?
Exactly.
That's not a drinking problem.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the only thing that I've heard swirling around Karen. So if there are other secrets, I mean, the tax stuff, the home ownership, who knows? But unless there's some concrete details and receipts, if Giselle has a binder, whip it out.
I mean, the smoking gun better not be that Ray's penis doesn't work. Because by the way, would any of us be like, oh my God. Like, I mean, he is of a certain age that if that were to happen, like,
yeah,
Cialis, like the, I mean, there's a reason that's a big, sells like hotcakes.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So
get yourself some, Ray, if you need it. I will say I'm excited to see this side of Candace, the stepmom.
Yeah.
We're meeting her bonus kids finally.
Yeah.
This is a part of her life we haven't really been exposed to before. And I think it will help us and other viewers really round out their perception of who she is.
Especially for those of us who maybe were very upset with her last season. You know, I think you're right. And, you know, it's interesting because I remember Brandy Glanville was always, it was very hard for her to not have her kids film because you never then saw Brandy Glanville, the mom.
Yeah.
And therefore, you didn't have this full picture of her. You always saw her, like, drinking too much and But you weren't seeing her at home sober taking care of her kids. And so it was just this unbalanced view of her.
Right. Yeah, and that's what we want to see on these shows is the full picture of who these women are. And I'm excited. I mean, I have a, I don't want to say a love-hate relationship with Candace. I love all housewives.
Yeah.
You know, for various reasons and at various levels.
Yeah.
Candace, her last song, I See You, the remix, I played that nonstop last season, okay? She has a new single out now. I'm super excited about it. There are so many parts of who she is that I really like.
Right.
And so I'm excited to expand on that some more. Also, I will note, remember a couple weeks ago, I was ragging on Reza's husband, Adam, for his beard, his castaway beard. Now it works on Chris because he's bald.
Right.
So it's a balance.
Yes.
You know, I think he looks good with the scrappy, scruffy beard action.
Agreed.
And it's nice to meet your kids finally, Chris.
Yes. Well, some of them.
Okay. Can we just note that Wendy might as well join the Real Housewives of New Jersey because she does not live in Potomac.
Oh,
okay.
I love how much they talk about where each other lives and how far it is, you know?
Yeah. It's actually very similar to Atlanta because a lot of those women do not live in Atlanta proper. They are out in the, you know, suburbs and all of that. But Wendy is, that's some next level. I mean, she's closer to us than she is to Giselle, you know? Yeah.
Ugh, my friend bought a house in the Bronx and I'm so happy for her, obviously. But getting out there was such a trek. And I did find myself in the car, like, having one of those, can you believe how far she lives? Like,
right.
You know, like, but I felt like such a housewife.
Did you take the six?
No.
Like J-Lo
used to. My friend drove me, thank Christ.
I mean, maybe the Bronx is, like, up and coming.
No, it is. It's totally fine. It's just not fine for me to have to travel that far.
Right. Yeah.
Which is really what they're saying. Yeah, live wherever you want to live. Don't make me go.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully production ushered them there in some black cars and nobody had to drive.
But you can't get that time back that you spend in the car.
No, you can't. So Wendy basically hosts this nude interlude party to debut some new assets.
Oh, right. The girls.
Oh, the girls. What do you think?
Happiness. I think they look amazing.
Yeah.
But don't have people over to your party to say, look at me, I'm so proud and open about my plastic surgery, and then not reveal everything.
Yeah, there seems to be more.
The doctor was literally touching her stomach and being like, everything looks good. We know there's more.
Yeah.
Why would she not just say, like, I don't, you can't be both. You can't be someone who's like, look at me. I'm like letting it all out. And then at the same time be like, how dare you ask me what else I have had done? No, you don't get to play that game.
Well, why would she be hiding it too?
It's stupid. If you can admit that you got implants, why can't you admit what else?
Okay, go ahead.
I got my boobs done.
Yes.
Okay. Lord. Okay. And I got some tweaks.
You got some what?
Tweaks.
Tweaks to what? Okay, what did you get tweaks on to? What?
Hey.
I don't believe that. Girl, if you bring me here to show me your boobs, you better show me your butt.
Just some tweaks.
Because we all know it wasn't nothing back there before. Wendy ain't had no booty. And now, it's a little something back there.
Well, and speaking of admitting what you've had done, we see Mia just like rattle off everything that she's had, which I appreciate that she did that because it seemed like Wendy was trying to come for her a little bit. And Mia was like, no, ma'am, I will let you know everything I've had done. I mean,
yeah.
It's fairly obvious she's had some nips, tucks, and improvements here and there. But I really appreciated that she was just like, oh, you want to know? I'll tell you.
Well, so, and we did talk about it in the interview that you'll hear at the end of the episode. You know, I said, why do you think some women hide it? And I should be clear. I don't have a problem with people who don't want to talk about anything they've had done. Like, I don't necessarily think that we have a right to ask that.
Yeah.
Because if I had a major insecurity, I don't want to put more attention on it by saying I changed this thing. That's fine and that's fair. But you can't then, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't have it both ways. You
right.
can't proclaim to be open and honest and like, I'm celebrating this thing I did, but then not talk about it all.
I know. Yeah. I think there's a lot going on in our culture about beauty standards and expectations for certain things. And we look at the advertising industry for years and years and years now. I mean, decades, and the perception it puts out of how you're supposed to look and what you should look like. But if you are empowered by the decisions you're making to make changes to your body, then that's good for you. And if that improves your self-confidence, if that makes you more comfortable in a bathing suit, if it makes you more comfortable looking in the mirror every day, you have to allow people to do that. And I think in other ways, as parents or whatever it may be, you can build up confidence in children and in each other in other ways.
Right.
But you also have to let people do what they want to do.
Yeah.
So the episode ends with this crazy showdown between Giselle and Karen. Did you follow what Karen was saying?
I don't understand what a hot box is when you're talking about a vagina.
You want to talk about your fiery box that's on fire and that's why you can't keep a man? Do you want to do that?
What's a fiery box?
You talking about her coochie on fire?
Oh, yes. She has a hot box.
Well, isn't a box also a nickname for a vagina?
Well, yeah.
So
a hot vagina.
I mean, it seemed like nobody at the table really was following, and not even Giselle, and she didn't get offended by that. So maybe that's not how she heard it, but that's what I heard. And then the Sing Sing stuff, I was like, we're talking, that's a prison. What's happening now?
No, I didn't understand that. That's why we had to go to Sing Sing. What are you talking? Did you all go to prison? I don't understand.
And that's why we went to Sing Sing.
What is Sing Sing? Is it a city?
So you'll hear it actually next week. We have an interview with Karen Huger coming up. I obviously ask her about it because I'm like, what are you talking about? But she was also—
What did she say?
Well, she was on Watch What Happens Live this past week.
Okay, what'd she say?
On premiere night. And she was like, I don't really know what Sing Sing was. It sounded right in the moment, so I just said it. I know it's a prison. And I actually explained to Karen that in Mariah Carey's memoir, she revealed that she called her home with Tommy Mottola Sing Sing because she felt like it was a prison. And Karen was like, well, there you go. She was like, yeah, I didn't know what I was talking about, but it sounded good when I said it. So,
well, did she explain what she meant about hot box?
No. I think it was just Karen rambling and trying to shade Giselle because Giselle was trying to shade her, and none of it really made sense, but
yeah,
that's sort of how they go at each other.
Weird.
Yeah.
Before we leave Potomac, I mean, what did you think of Mia?
I like her. I think she is an interesting energy to bring to the group.
Right.
I like that she very easily integrated herself into the group. She came in through Karen, but she also was quick to say, oh, I don't know. I think from what I see of Giselle, she has a good heart. She's not immediately coming in and picking a side and being like, well, I'm Karen's friend, so I need to stick by her. She's like, well, no, I'm a new cast member on this show. I should probably play it evenly, at least in this very first time of meeting everybody.
Yeah.
Mia might not be that good at arithmetic, but you know what? Neither am I. She's like 38 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, that doesn't add up.
That's so funny. She talks about that in the interview, too.
Oh, good.
I was trying to do the
yeah,
math.
Yeah, that wasn't right math.
No. Is that right?
You said your husband's 38 years old, so you're saying that he's 68?
Yeah.
So that would make you 30.
Oh, okay, no.
Come on, mathematician. Come on, Robin.
So he's 30 years older.
Oh.
Right? I don't know, y'all.
Okay.
He's 68 and I'm 36. There we go.
Got it. So
32
that would mean
years.
32.
32.
Okay.
So I got the chance to speak to Mia Thornton, the newest Real Housewife on Real Housewives of Potomac. I wanted to know all about what it was like coming into this group as a fan of the show and what she thought of that first explosive dinner party. Here's that interview.
So Mia Thornton, welcome to the Daily Dish podcast. It's so nice to have you.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you so much.
I have to say, you might be my new housewife MVP, and I interview all the housewives because
yes!
you are not feeling great. You said you're a little under the weather, but you still wanted to do the interview, and oh my God, I'm so happy.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I have to begin just, you know, I just watched the premiere and blown away. Did you watch Real Housewives of Potomac before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, being from Maryland, the first season when it hit, I was like, okay, well, who are these ladies and how come I don't know them? You know,
I was
like, who are they? And so it was pretty exciting to know and just watch, be able to watch like women in such a great environment and just be able to just open their homes at home. You know, it was always dear to me. I grew up on the Potomac. And so it was definitely something that I was excited about. And so, yes, I was a fan and now I'm a friend.
Yeah. Well, so as you know, then last season was insane and just completely dramatic. And it really left the group fractured. Did you feel that walking into Wendy's home that first night?
So I'm glad that you brought that up. That's a good question. I did watch last season and I will tell you, when I saw it, I had reservations. I'm like, I don't know if this is something I can sign up for. I'm not quite sure if I'm the girl that they're looking for. You know, I definitely speak my mind, but I would like to say I'm more of a lover and not a fighter. So when going into this and walking into Wendy's home, I wasn't exactly sure what I was walking into. I just said, hey, I'm just going to be me and they can love me or they can hate me. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to be me. And we ended up having a great time.
Yeah. I mean, who would you say, when you walked into the room, is it a little bit surreal at first to have watched these women on the show and then you're suddenly in a room with them?
Yeah, absolutely. But the first thing that came to my mind was, oh my gosh, they're so much prettier in person. And of course, you know, I wanted to say that, but then they're like, okay, who's this girl? Where's she come from? But I really did think that. I was like, well, wow, like they're beautiful women and their aura radiates. And I can see exactly why they were selected to be on this platform.
Yeah. Thinking about your first season as a whole, who was the most welcoming? And who was the least welcoming?
Well, Karen, of course. Yeah, Karen is such a gem. I love her. She texts on me often, and I hope that our friendship and our bond continues to remain as strong as it is growing to be now that I am within jogging distance of each other. So we're going to have a lot of fun this summer. But the most least welcoming, I mean, I want to say that everybody was open to a new friend, but I will very soon, I wasn't able to connect with Wendy. We had a little hiccup, but we overcame that, and we learned we have a lot more in common than we thought we did.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, what about with Giselle? Because I would think that coming in sort of as indeed to that party, especially as Karen's friend, I would think that Giselle would naturally sort of put her guard up against you.
Yeah. Well, so Karen had warned me. She told me that Giselle has a hard time with new people in general. And my response to her was, that sounds like a personal problem, not mine.
Yeah.
So it had nothing to do with me. So yeah, I think that she was trying to read me and trying to find ways or reasons not to like me. But I mean, let's be real. Like, if it's just because it's another pretty girl, maybe she felt intimidated. I don't know, but that's a question for her.
Yeah. You certainly shocked the other women when you revealed the age difference between your husband and you. I'm sure that's a reaction you commonly get.
Yeah, but I had to say to myself, well, here's the thing. No one has ever asked us that. And I remember going home that evening and saying, Gordon, I was like, I realized that you and I don't even know our age gap. And I asked him the same question and he couldn't even get it right. And I
said
to
him,
I said, thank God we have an accountant because neither one of us can count. He was like, well, how old are you anyway? I was like, I think I'm 36. Like, I had to pull out my driver's license. It was that bad.
Oh my gosh. How did you two meet?
So Gordon and I, so we met doing a fundraiser event at a strip club, cliche, very open about that. and we ended up serving on the same board for a nonprofit organization. And, you know, he won me over because he was interested in a cause that it was very dear to my heart and very personal in helping a close friend fund her organization. And he went and outsourced investors. And we just, because we worked on the project, I realized that, wow, okay, this is not just a crazy old man. He actually has a big heart. And we ended up having a lot of fun together.
That's great. One of the things that you sort of won me over with immediately was how open you are about any work that you've had done, plastic surgery or injections. And I find that so refreshing. And
oh, thank you.
And I am just curious what makes you so open about it.
You know, you get to a point in life, I wasn't always as open, right? Because I felt like my entire life, I've always hidden behind like somebody else's reality that ended up coming over into my world. So like certain things that my parents have done, I was taught at a very young age not to talk about it. And so once I got to become an adult, I said, first of all, I'm not going to raise my children that way. I'm going to be completely honest with them and let them know the real, right? I don't want them to feel like they have to hide behind closed doors. You know how they always say, you never know what happens behind the doors. Well, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I show that there's power in being transparent and being authentically you. And at the end of the day, you know, life is short. And so if I choose to do something, I don't want to hide behind it. I'm open about it because I want other women to know that if there's something you don't like, you have control over that to change it.
Yeah.
Or not, right? You know, there's people out there that are anti-plastic surgery, just be natural in what God made you. And that's okay too. But if you do, if there's something you're insecure about, or if there's something you want to change, go for it, girl, and rock it and show it and own it, because that's power. It gives you your power back.
I mean, what do you think it is that makes so many women shy away from the subject and not want to reveal what they've had done?
Well, because the media, I think the media puts like a, you know, when we turn on the television and we see people or we open magazines, we think that that's what people look like all the time, right? Social media does it to us. We have all these filters, we have all these, you know, this editing and things like that. And so I think we feel like that's our normal, like we're supposed to normally look like that naturally. And people say, oh, natural beauty is more beautiful, you know, or if you look a certain way, if your hair is done a certain way. And, you know, I feel like I have gotten to a point where I'm like, just look any way you want to look. If you don't want to do your hair, trust me, I have days where I would put on a hair, like a baseball cap and not brush my hair. And I still feel real cute, right? But, yeah, you know, there's days where I'm going to put on a clip in some hair weave and do a whole nine yards and be ba ba boom. And so I think that, you know, we as women are so harsh on other women and we're always judging people by what they look like, that most women are afraid to be open to say, I'm insecure about something and so I changed it. And so I think that's why we don't share what we've had done.
Right.
And I have like really, really close friends. We go to the same surgeon and they were like, Mia, I'm going to tell you, but please don't tell anybody else. And I'm like, well, why? And they're like, I just don't feel comfortable. I don't want them to know that I was insecure about that. And it's really just because we're so judgmental against each other. We as women have got to do better.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've encountered a lot of judgment in this group of ladies?
Well, who knows? Time will tell. I haven't had an opportunity to watch the full season yet, so I have no idea. But, you know, it's okay for them to have opinions. You know, I do want the ladies to be honest and real and tell me, you know, how they're feeling. I think that's what builds really strong bonds. Now, if I choose to do anything with the information, I mean, probably not, but I do want them to be honest. And so I don't feel like they've been judgmental, like abruptly to my face outside of them thinking that I think that I'm better. Mm. But, you know, that comes with the territory. And I get that a lot. So I wasn't surprised by that.
You know, you bring up an interesting point. Like you haven't seen the season. It's your, you know, first season. It's got to be somewhat nerve-wracking that you are about to start watching the show air. Uh-huh. And you're going to find out exactly what everyone was saying uh-huh. each episode about you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And so, I mean, hey, I signed up for it. I know it's coming. I have very thick skin. So I think, hey, just as long as they're being honest.
Yeah. At this point, is there anything that you personally are a little bit nervous about? Like, oh God, are they going to air this thing that happened?
No, I'm not nervous about it. And it's funny. I'm glad you asked that too, because my husband said, babe, he goes, why are you even going to watch it? I go, well, I have to, because it wouldn't make any sense if I didn't. And he goes, well, I'm not going to watch. And I go, you should. I was like, because I think that it's important just to support the platform. And we also both agreed that when we signed up that we have no secrets. So, you know, that's why I'm not afraid. Like just whatever is out there, it's out there. I know, I just hope that it's always going to be, I know editing sometimes can leave out few key factors. And so I just pray and hope that the story gets played out the way that it was told. And I'm sure it will. I'm almost positive that. That's not
going to
be a concern.
I just think it's so funny. He's like, I'm not watching it, you know? that's very interesting to me.
I know. I thought so too when he said that. I was like, what? And he goes, well, babe, he goes, I know you're amazing. And I just pray that the world sees that you're amazing. And that's all.
Oh, well, I am so excited to watch this season. I know that the rest of Bravo fans are, and we can't wait to get to know you even more. But thank you so much for giving us this little introduction and look into your life. Yay. Because we're about to become Bravo besties as we watch the rest of the season.
Yes. I I love it. No, it's definitely a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I am extremely thankful to be able to have this platform to just open my doors and welcome people into our world and hopefully, you know, impact a few.
Thank you so much, Mia. This was amazing.
Thank you. All right. You guys have a great day. Okay.
You too.
Okay. New York.
Sure.
Okay, so the top of the episode, we are wrapping up the very awkward, challenging, emotional conversation about racism, white supremacy, and everything. It seems to resolve itself in a lot of ways. And Ramona continues to just shut it down, close it off, doesn't even want to engage in the conversation with Sonia.
Right. Well, Luann's the same way.
Yeah, yeah. What I appreciate is that Sonia was trying to show Ramona, look, I feel energized by Ebony and what she stands for and what's happening in this moment. And we want you to feel that way too. And I think if this conversation happened before, earlier on in the season, maybe Ramona would have received it a little bit differently. But at this point in the night, Ramona's like, I don't want to keep going here. I can't keep going here because it's too risky for her.
Right.
I don't know. I understand where everyone's coming from. And I remember that time in 2020 of feeling like Ebony, feeling like Leah, of wanting to lash out at those that I felt were not on the right side of history. But it's kind of awkward when you're on a girls trip and you're filming a TV show and you're in Salem and it's like, you're right. Supposed to be having a good time.
Also, I don't know if I can talk about the grandmothers anymore.
Oh, I know. Well, and what's crazy is I just spent this past weekend with family, finally spreading my grandmother's ashes at the family gravestone and all of that. And so I'm ready personally to now move forward with that part of like grieving and everything. So I think this was Ebony's way of closing out the whole thing.
Yeah.
And just being like, I just want to let everyone know this is what happened. And I was so grateful that everyone really rallied around her, including Ramona. Say what you will about Ramona, but she yeah. has a heart and she will always come through for her friends in those moments where they really need her.
I just want to share that my grandma passed this morning.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
And you didn't say anything on the van.
You guys are having fun and I wanted to bring good energy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. But yeah, at this point now, we've got tattoos. We've cried together. Let's go forward.
Right.
Which, by the way, I am going to get a tattoo of my grandmother's name.
Are you?
Yeah, over my heart. Her name was Shirley, so I'm going to get it right there. I don't know when. Maybe in Salem. I don't know.
So it's interesting how Sonia has not really progressed in her personal journey, I feel.
Yeah.
And I say that because we get Leah talking to Ebony about, oh, my God, Sonia's on a loop again. She's on a loop again.
She's talking about the townhouse.
I know. I just like a cycle that goes on and on and on.
She's on a loop. She's on a loop.
And I feel like I'm crazy on the loop with her.
No.
It's crazy.
And you go to Sonia at the colony tour thing, talking to Bershon, and it's just like she's saying the same thing over and over that we've all heard. And it's sort of like when Bethany first came back to Roni and was just like, Smokey, I up doing Stad. Smokey, I up doing Stad. It's like once Sonia gets going on this hamster wheel, she can't get off.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we help Sonia.
I know. She's so fixated on the past. And I think that's a lot of the work that Ebony is trying to put into their friendship and their relationship is Ebony is trying to show her there's so much to live for now and in the future. Let's not dwell on what happened before.
Right.
And Sonia has a really hard time going back there.
Yeah.
Or going forward from being back there.
Yeah.
Well, things get pretty heated between Sonia and Bershon later on in this episode. And I don't really know where Bershon was coming from with the whole, you women are boring, I'm bored, this is all boring. Well, you're in Salem, so there's only so much you can do that's exciting. So manage that expectation, Bershon.
It's also like, how did you expect them to react to that comment? Did you expect them to turn it up? Because like, right. Of course people are going to get defensive, especially women of a certain age. You call them grandmas. Like, yeah. It's not going to go well.
Yeah. it is funny that when Bershon finally calls Sonia a clown, you see this look on Luann's face and Luann's pissed.
Oh, I love, here's why I love it, because it's sort of like how you can be annoyed by your parents, but the second someone else sort of says something and you're just like, you said what?
Right.
Don't you dare. So I love that Luann, who talks shit on Sonia all day, air day, was just like, how don't you ever come for my friend?
Yep. I mean, we just saw a few weeks back, Luann rip Sonia apart for the Tom stuff and basically calling her a whore, you know? Yeah. And then all of a sudden she gets called a clown and Luann's like, that's crossing a line. And you're like, well, you've crossed those lines many times, Lou, but okay, I appreciate that she came to her defense because Ramona didn't say a word.
Oh, Ramona. Ramona's so bad about that.
I can never follow when Ramona will pick and choose these battles. You know, it just seems arbitrary.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
I really don't know how Bershon, like, I mean, I don't know. Is this the point at which she became a friend of and not a housewife?
Probably.
Because I don't know how she's going to be fully accepted in this group now.
I got to tell you, this group is a little bit boring.
Yeah, well, she really ended up clowning herself in this situation. And Leah really calling her on her shit and putting her foot down and being like, you're acting up. You're not making any sense. You're not saying what you mean. What are you trying to do here? What are you trying to do
just
here?
Just try to stir the pot.
Did she really drink too much? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Was she just trying to stumble through this experience and start some drama so that she could be more a part of the show and a part of this cast? I don't know.
I'm really curious to see where this altercation goes next week.
Well, right. It seems like they end up sitting down at dinner together later on the next day after this altercation or whatever, but it doesn't look pretty.
No.
I mean, what altercations are, but...
Right.
But then again, we saw Mike and Destiny sit down together at the beach just a few days after their altercation on Shaw's.
That's true.
But... you know, emotions were high, alcohol involved. Hopefully everybody is able to work through it.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills?
Yes.
Whew.
It's nice to see Sutton sort of regretful about the, you know, and I don't even care about the ugly leather pants specifically. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And even in interviews, she says something funny about, I was wrong. They're actually pleather. They're not leather. But I think to see her, like, sort of, in tears being like, why did I do this to myself? Why did I let my emotions get the best of me? It was nice to see because we're all thinking it. We're all like, oh my God, Sutton, stop. And so it was nice for her to be a little embarrassed, I think.
Yeah, definitely. A little rage and regret, I think, is what we experienced there. But I will say, Sutton brought out the Real Housewife in Crystal.
Oh,
we finally saw not necessarily what Sutton was pushing for, but we finally saw that moment where Crystal was like, I am done with this. I'm letting you know, and this is the end.
Yeah. I mean, it was very real of Crystal to immediately sort of go to Garcelle and Erica separately and be like, what am I supposed to do right now?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where to take this. But then she really sticks to her guns because when they're like, well, you should apologize. She's like, no, I'm not apologizing. But God, there's this anger that comes out of her. Like when she said to Sutton, you're an awkward, inappropriate person.
Woo.
You're upset because you want me to apologize for something that you did. I will not. Let's be clear.
No.
I will not apologize for your actions.
Out of the air.
You're an inappropriate, awkward person.
Damn.
It's like not the nicest thing to say, but you're right. It's like a real, Real Housewives moment.
Yeah. And Sutton is a little awkward. She is a little kooky, a little quirky. I don't think she's inappropriate.
No.
But that is what you got to do to cut her down and be like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
We got to move forward. So good for you, Crystal.
Yeah.
Also, can we note the advice that Rinna gave? Don't say it unless you truly believe it. Rinna would know.
Right.
She's run into those issues a few times in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so then they all get COVID.
Then they all get COVID, yes.
No, it's Kyle, Kathy, and Dorit, right?
Yeah.
But they don't say how they got it, which I mean, I guess is appropriate because like how would you really know?
Yeah, you can't always tell. I mean, there's contact tracing and all that, but I wonder if it happened at Rinna's because then everyone did have to
quarantine
for 2 weeks after that.
Yeah.
And then the season takes a turn.
Yep. stuff starts coming out about Erica's divorce, people calling it a sham, saying that Tom embezzled money from the Boeing victims. Mm-hmm. So that stuff has fully come out in this episode.
Yeah, it's hit the news. Everyone's aware of it. Everyone's seeing the coverage.
Wow, this is on Fox News. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
There's news reports coming out that are alleging that Tom embezzled this money from victims of this plane crash. And to see Erica's name involved in it is shocking.
Seeing these headlines makes you cringe. Some of these victims, they're widows, orphans. That's the punch in the gut.
I was thinking of it from a producer standpoint. I wonder if production was like, oh God, we can't be filming together. That sucks. Or on the flip side, if it was actually a blessing for producers because emotions were so high, everyone quarantining and being sick and going through the pandemic and everything, having this happen with those kind of heightened emotions might have been one of the best things from a producer standpoint. I'm not saying any of this is good stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But to make for really great television, the stars kind of aligned on this one.
Yeah. I will say, though, you know, I think that we've sort of been watching thinking, well, at this time, this is what information they have. Like, we have to remember they don't know everything yet, blah, blah, blah. But on social media, very recently, everyone has been fully supportive of Erica.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just something that I think is an interesting note that even more has come out and they're still sticking by their friend.
Well, if Erica is innocent, this has to be hell on earth for her.
I know.
And as her friends, what else are they supposed to do but support her? It is, like Kyle says, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
The person that she knows, she doesn't believe would do these kind of things.
Right.
And we know that the media can get carried away with things. And not remotely comparing it to what Britney Spears is going through at all, but when you look back at the media storm around her, 2006, 7, 8, around that time, there were so many things out there that were not true. But once it's out there and one person says it and one person starts to believe it, it's a downward slope.
Yeah.
And through all of the things Erica was saying in her interviews, during her emotional conversation with Kyle, there were so many factors that she laid out that even me personally, I started to believe her. Maybe she didn't know.
Yeah.
Maybe she really had no idea.
I mean, it's definitely an interesting theme in this episode. And I think really if you pull back, you know, the layers of like all of our Housewives franchises is, you know, women being in this power dynamic and not having all the information. And Crystal doesn't even know, like, anything about her finances. She brings up the point that she feels like Rob would tell her if she asked, but Erica did ask and didn't get that information.
Right. Right. It brought up a lot of points. I wonder how many of these women and even Housewives on other franchises started to ask more questions.
Yeah.
To their, you know, partners and whatnot. And even just watching Rinna talk about it and then show all those dresses, I was kind of like, I got the feeling that Rinna and Harry Hamlin, they're on top of their money.
Yeah.
They're honest with each other. They have a good relationship. They're on top of their shit. I Googled, allegedly, she's worth $10 million. I bet it's actually more. But I'm sure that raised a lot of questions for a lot of people who were close to Erica. And, you know, you got to ask those questions.
Yeah.
You have to. And if Erica really was met with no answers, no responses every time she asked, it sounds like her relationship and her life was unraveling for a really long time up until this point.
Yeah.
And maybe we just really had no idea.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah. I mean, because obviously we've heard feedback from a lot of fans who just aren't believing Erica, and that's fine. But if you could take a minute to think, what if she is completely innocent of all of this? And she had this life of someone who was taking care of her, and that was sort of the dynamic. And it's like you're now paying this ultimate price for having such a nice life all this time.
Right. Yeah, it's a weird, like, karma, but not as, you know, it's such a strange cosmic thing. I don't know. And even to be named in some of the lawsuits, for example, she's also a public figure. She's on a TV show. She has her own net worth. So maybe she's named in some of these lawsuits just because.
Right.
If they're trying to go after money for people who deserve it, they're going to name anybody in these lawsuits that they can potentially get money from.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's like law 101.
Right.
You know, shoot for the stars and hopefully you get a good settlement, you know? I took one law class in college and I feel like that's all I learned.
I feel like you also have a professor listening who's like, I never said that.
Yeah, Gwen. Her name was Gwen. I loved her. If that's not right, let me know. Oh, can we talk a little bit about Kyle and the conversation with Kathy about COVID and being a parent and everything? I mean, I'm not a mom. I have no kids. But I totally related to what Kyle was saying.
It was, I mean, I haven't really heard that side of it.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, too. Like, to have a kid who you just feel like is sort of withering away, yeah, like as their personality. Ugh.
I think it's just the element of defeat. And yeah, we all felt that way at a certain point in the last year and a half, like that there was just nothing to get up for, nothing to live for in some way. You know, you're just like, oh my God, another day of the same old, same old.
Right.
And as a mom, as Kyle says, it's her favorite thing. She loves being a mom and she loves providing for her children, and to not be able to do that and feel so powerless in that, yeah, situation, as we all felt, we all get it in, yeah, in some level. And then we got the classic Kathy line already. At some point, you got to show your cards. She's like, shut up, Kathy. I'm like, what are you talking about? Makes sense to her.
Look, at the end of the day, life is a poker game and everybody's got to show their cards.
Kathy, shut up.
Oh, last thought on Beverly Hills. Little shade towards Sutton's daughter, Porter.
Oh, I wanted to talk about that. What was that?
I don't know.
Don't you think Lisa Rinna was being really shady?
Yes, and I'm curious to know what Sutton will think about that.
Yes.
Interview moment.
I mean, Sutton was also slightly shady because she was like, yeah, I don't think that play date's ever going to happen. Like, I don't think that she would necessarily want Lisa Rinna's daughters for her. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they have raised the daughters that they want.
Is
that a weird thing to say?
No, it's neither one of them is right nor wrong, but they are just two very different moms with two very different children.
Yeah.
And that's probably not going to mesh.
Right.
Probably not.
I just love Lisa Rinna being like, it was a cool girl sorority when I went there, and we didn't have a lot of nerds.
She was there for one term. Okay. How cool was it, Rinna?
It must be a very smart group of women that joined Kappa Kappa Gamma.
Right.
We're called Kappa Kappa Geniuses.
Oh, see, there you go. You're a Kappa Kappa Genius.
Yes.
I'll take it. At the time, I don't think it was the nerd sorority. 150 years ago, it was actually the cool girl sorority, okay?
I do love the name Porter.
I do too.
That's very cool.
I think I added it to my list.
What is Sutton's son's name?
Oh, I didn't even know she had a son.
I think there's a boy. Better be a cool name. Sutton, po. Porter.
Porter and Poe.
Porter and Poe. Like the Teletubby? By the way, the Teletubbies have been vaccinated. There's a whole marketing campaign around it. So, just saying. Even Teletubbies believe science.
Oh boy.
Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
Kathy's weird baby doll wreaths.
Terrifying.
Like, she's just so odd.
Nightmarish.
It's just
between the dental work as a child and these baby wreaths, I'm like, you're crazy.
But you know what it is? It's like, it's the money that makes her eccentric. Like, if she had this personality and no money, I think she would just be a crazy bag lady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just muttering to herself.
Right.
But because she has the money, it just makes her, oh, interesting and eccentric.
I would love to know what, obviously, Paris thinks about this, but Nikki too. I would love to talk to Kathy's children.
Yeah.
And be like, what's happening here? Is this how she's always been?
Yeah.
I need to know.
What's your rose?
My rose was Golnessa and Nima. making up on Shaws of Sunset. I like when the two of them get along. I sort of ship them and want them to be together, maybe not forever, but for a little while. Mm. And I think it'd been a long time coming. Nemo wanted to move forward. Golnessa seemed open to it. I'm just happy the two of them finally had that conversation.
Right.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was on Below Deck Med. The groom kept kind of crying over this rainbow.
He was giving me American Psycho vibes during this episode for sure.
Wait, why American Psycho?
Just like a little too intense.
Right.
And like about to crack.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, look at this rainbow.
I know.
Jesus, thank
you. It's just like, because he wasn't just crying. It was like he was blubbering. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was like thanking Jesus for the rainbow and everything. And the bride seemed to be pretty together.
Yeah.
I was like, this feels off.
What was your thorn?
Actually, also from Below Deck Med, and it is engineer Jake and chief officer Martin not being a part of the cast because
they're hot.
I did not clock in the first episode. We got one glimpse of them, and I probably looked at my phone or something and totally missed it. But damn, we need them on the show.
They must have like very blah personalities.
Well, we don't need their personality. We need more of them like bathing on the deck in the back, you know what
right.
I'm saying?
As engineers on yachts do.
Right. And we'll be back next week with an all-new episode featuring an interview with Karen Huger.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy.